Madagai Gimbai, Biripi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hi, welcome to King's Kids. I'm Heidi, and over the last couple of weeks, Tony has shared how he came to marry his wife years before he was due to be let out of prison, and how God intervened and miraculously got him released. Today, Tony completes the story of God's goodness. Here's Tony.
I want to start with something funny today, and I want to tell you a funny story. There's this woman, and she's a single mum, and she's got two boys. And they're about 8 or 9, and they're always in trouble. Always in trouble. And she was at her wit's end, and she said to the kids, she said, I'm going to take you to the minister, to the local minister at the church. And he's going to have to talk to you boys because I just can't cope with yous anymore. Yous always in trouble. So she takes them one at a time. She takes the oldest boy to the minister. And the minister sits him down and he said, son, where is God? And the kid looked at him and didn't answer. And he said, son, where is God? And he looked at him and didn't answer. And he said the third time, he said, son, where is God? Anyway, the kid jumps up and runs out of the church and runs home. And he says to his little brother, he said, God's missing. They don't know where he is and they're blaming us. When I left the prison, I signed some parole papers, and the parole papers said that you can't leave town without parole office permission. You can't leave the 60K sign. If I go past that, I'd be locked up back to jail. So then if I missed a meeting with the parole officer, straight to jail. If I was seen talking to other inmates who were criminals or on the outside, straight back to jail. So I really couldn't do anything without running by the parole officer, and he hated me. He was the one that said I should never have been released. And he said to me I had to follow all reasonable instructions, and he said to me, Tony Dennis, and he said, if you go to church, he said, I'll put you back in jail for not following my instructions. He was just out of control. You know, he went out of his way to put me back in prison. And you know what I said to God? I said, God, I'm going to church tonight with my friends. And if I'm only out one day before I go back to prison, so be it. But I want to be in the house of the Lord. I want to be in worship with my friends, with God. Worship my God. I want to be there to worship my God. And you know what happened? The parole officer paid somebody to follow me to church, to follow me around. Anyway, after the preaching was done, I wasn't preaching, I was just sitting there in church, amazed at being in the presence of Almighty God. And when the church service finished, this bloke called me aside and he said, you don't know me, he said, but the parole officer paid me to follow you. And if you was to go to church, I was to report you to him and you'll be arrested tomorrow and put back in prison. And I said, why are you telling me this? He said, because tonight I got saved. I got saved. And I'm not going to tell him that you went to church. Yeah, how good is God? The enemy set a trap, but God's got everything in line.
In our life, we seem to be the ones that want to be in control, the ones that make all the decisions in our lives. Though we have a God that has already made the plans and figured out the purpose for our life, as it says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 14. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the places from which I carried you into exile.
That I have for you, declares the Lord, declares the Lord. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, declares the Lord. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, declares the Lord. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, declares the Lord. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, declares the Lord. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, declares the Lord, declares the Lord. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord.
A few weeks back, I mentioned a woman called Catherine Knight, who was one of my childhood sweethearts, and was the same woman that came to the jail to visit me when God said, the woman you're going to marry with two kids is going to be at the jail. Well, Catherine was the only one that I knew that had two children. Back in 2000, when I was at the height of my ministry preaching around everywhere, Catherine committed a murder. And there was a lot of circumstances that drove her to commit that murder. But she killed her partner. She cut his head off. She stabbed him 49 times. She skinned him alive and she cooked him. It was a horrific murder and she was put in prison. You know, it took me about 10 years before I went and visited Catherine. How do you approach somebody that's committed this sort of murder? And me being in prison myself, you know, you can't throw stones. And when I went to visit her, she gave me a hug and she said she loved me. And she told all the prison warders that, you know, I was her brother. And we were raised together a little bit, and she was like family. And I remember leaving that prison and I said to her jokingly, I said, just as well we didn't get married, eh? I said, I would have woke up in heaven headless. And we had a good laugh together and we had a great visit. And then, you know, for months, I visited her every time I went to Sydney and always visited her, but not only her, but other inmates who was in there for murder, people that couldn't get visits from anybody else. And I remember sharing this with a church that I'd been to visit her. And somebody said to me, Tony, why do you visit people like that? And you know what I said was, God loves the person, not the sin. And it doesn't matter who they are. Somebody needs to love these people and reach out and touch them. The last time I visited her, she said to me, Tony, I've given my heart to Jesus. I became a Christian. You know, she'll never be released. And, you know, she ministered to other prisoners as they come in and out of that prison. She may never see the rewards. And, you know, maybe God will one day release her. But if he doesn't, she will get her rewards when she goes to heaven. And it doesn't matter who we are, what we do in life, what sin we commit, whether it's murder, adultery, or being a drunk, God loves every individual. He doesn't love their sin.
Come and lay your burden down. The way of life is over. Son has set you free. Come and lay your burden down. You're free. You don't have to fear tomorrow or run away from yesterday. You can know the peace of knowing Him when from sin you turn away, turn away. Come and lay your burden down. The way of life is open now. Light is come and the sun has set you free. Come and lay your burden down. You're free. Maybe you could make things happen, but then it all seemed to go so wrong, so wrong. Come and lay your burden down. Way out of life is open now. And the sun has set you free. Lay your burden down. Lay it down. Come and lay your burden down. The way of life is open now. Light is come and the sun has set you free. Lay your burden down, you're free.
Last Sunday, I stood up in church and I shared a 5-minute testimony on the heart of the Father. And the testimony was about a person who did the wrong thing by my family. My family's been in disarray for nearly 4 years. For some unknown reason, people do things and they don't understand why they do it. Something could have been told to me and my wife a long time ago. Maybe we could have done something. Maybe we could have sorted stuff out. And things wouldn't have got to the point where they got to where they did. But I had to stand up and before God and say, God, this person has done the wrong thing by me and my family. You know, I have to forgive them. And while talking to the family members, I said to the family, we have to let go. Now that God has sorted this out, we need to let go. We need to be able to trust God. And you know what God said to me when we, you know, we sorted this out? My wife, she was a chip junkie. Oh, it's just how to say it. Describe her addiction to chicken, cheese and onion chips. She had to have them every day. And when this thing started 4 years ago, she said to God, she said, I want to fast. I want to honour you and fast something that I really don't want to go without. And you know what? She fasted cheese and onion chips. Only a week ago, when victory was so close, she went out and bought a packet of cheese and onion chips. And then it's like, you know, the Melbourne Cup, the jockey got thrown at the barrier. You know, there was a little hiccup. And then she had to say to the daughter, get rid of them chips. And then she prayed and talked to God. And then she stood up in church the week before last week. And she felt from God to share that she'll be back here 7 days' time doing a victory lap, that it God will deliver. And after we got the result that we wanted, the Holy Spirit said to my wife, he said, it was never going to finish any other way. I was always going to be in control. It was always going to happen this way. He was always going to win. It's hard to think about winning and celebrating when you've been through 4 years of agony, 4 years of heartache, 4 years of crying out to God and saying, where are you? When you're going through the wilderness, and it's a wilderness experience, we get trials and tests, and God just comes, and he doesn't promise us we'll go through life without any pain and heartaches, and that things won't seem so difficult at times, and you wonder where God is. But it's in these times that we grow as a Christian. At the end result, when Jesus has the victory over our lives and over our problems and our families, it's then we look back on the wilderness. I spent a fair bit of time with my lovely co-host yesterday, and I wrote a letter to somebody, and I was just talking about my wilderness experience. And you know what? I thought about that last night. You know, the wilderness experience. We need to thank God for them. We really need to shout and praise the God for all the wilderness experience that we have in our lives. Doesn't matter what it is. There's one thing you can count on, that God is on the throne. God is always there. He's always watching for us, looking out for us, and he's putting things in place behind the scenes so that we know that at the end of the day, we can trust God. People in the world, people that we love and trust, you know, people that we know. Sometimes when we have friends and loved ones, people we care about, they come in as a wolf in sheep's clothing. They pretend to love us. They pretend to care about us. You know, they say all the right things and do all the right things. And yet all the time their heart is full of deceit. They catch you out, they trick you, they trap you. And yeah, you know, you're left with a broken heart, you're hurt. And the first thing you want to do is you want to plot revenge. You don't want to forgive them. It's not natural. It's not natural to forgive someone that's hurt you, that's kicked you in the gut, spit in your face and lie to you and, you know, come and hurt you and try to destroy you and your family. But you see, God is the answer, because when you trust him, see, it's not in me. It's not in me as a father to forgive this man for what he's done to my family. But you see, the heart of the Father is in me. And because he says to love him and to forgive him, then I was able to do that. And when I shared this with the church on Sunday and shared, you know, that at the end of the line, at the end of the day, God has the victory because God won. And you know what? My family is rejoicing because we put our trust in God. It took 4 years, four long years. And you people out there, you're thinking you got a problem that happened yesterday or something that's happened last week, and you think, you know, it's not going to work out. You know, the thing is, you got to go the hard yards. You got to put the time in with God. You just say so to God, well, this has happened to me, and today, poor me, poor me, poor me, what are you going to do about it? You see, God will give you the wisdom, everything you need to get through it. And then God will deal with you. And then once you deal with yourself, the moment you give your things up to God, he will deal with it. You know, I was praying for someone yesterday, and all I can see in the spirit was God standing out in front of me, you know, with handcuffs on. You know, that reminded me of my old days, you know, the handcuffs on. And I said, God, what are you trying to tell me? And God said to me, well, when people try to do things in their own strength, in their own way of doing it without hanging over to me, he said, my hands are tied. I love them. I want to do something, but I can't do it. And, you know, see, with my children, sometimes they do things and I don't like the things they're doing, but I got to trust God for them. I just got to trust God. And, you know, it's easy to say that. People, someone said to me yesterday, but you've been trusting God for a long time, Tony. How can I trust him? He's never been found when I've wanted him. I cry out to God every day. And she said to me, she said, I'm really at the end of my rope. I can't do this anymore. And then the light bulb came on in my head. I said, you know what? You just said the key word. You can't do this anymore. And I said, you have to leave it to God. But the thing is, I said, many times in the past, you've cried out to God and said, God, I'm going to give it to you. 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 You're like a rabbit. You're just rabbiting on. Because you know what it is? You're doing it in your head. In your head. It's not a head thing. It's got to be from the heart. It's got to be from your soul, your spirit. And you got to really want to cry out to God and say, Abba, Father, this is, I'm going to give it to you. I want you to do something. And, you know, sit back and watch God deliver. And you can rejoice in the victory when it happens. But a wilderness experience that I wouldn't swap them for the world, because that's when we grow, and we grow closer in our relationship with God. You know, I can see that I'm close to the end of the wilderness for me. I know I'm coming close to the other side. I can see the daylight on the other side of the wilderness. And I know I'm excited, because when I come out of this wilderness experience, all the things that God has given me to do, I will have the wisdom to do it. I will be ready to do it. Whereas before, many times in the past, I've given up. You know, I went in the wilderness and you know, it's so dry. And you think, oh, well, you know, nothing good's going to happen. And you give up. We had a plague of mice one summer. And you could set mice traps and they'd be going off every 2 minutes. And a bloke gave me this bucket. And he filled it with 3/4 of the way with water. And he put this little balancing thing on it. And he put some cheese on the end of it and a bit of grain. And he said the mice would run up this thing and they'd run along this thing and then it'll tip them into the bucket. And you'd come out in the morning and there'd be, you know, 50 mice or 100 mice and they're dead. And what happens is, when there's only a few mice in the bucket, they just keep swimming. Because they can't stay afloat, they got to keep swimming. And they can only swim for so long before they go under. And that's the problem with Christians. They get in this bucket and they keep paddling and they keep paddling. When they get tired and weary, they keep doing it themselves and then they drown in it. When God's standing there on the shore ready to throw them a life jacket, they don't reach out and take it because of pride, stubbornness and all that.
Troubles in my life, running away from all the happiness that's left behind. It seems as though the arms of love around me are just not enough to believe that I'm so blessed. And living is a joy I must learn to express. If I will ever be all I was meant to be.
Help me get through this, I know I will.
was Sade with Help. We also heard Queensland singer Dan Vogler with Lay Your Burden Down and New Zealand singer Jules Riding with Plans. Thank you for your company today. I'm Heidi. Tony and I would love to see you again next week. If you would like to talk to Tony about anything you've heard in today's program, give him a call on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. See you next week. Thank you.